B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know, I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Quickly, at the start of this noontime hour, an email from Rafa, who says, Beetle, Netflix has a program. It's called The 72 Killer Animals of Asia. And this thing, being the killer hornets, has beat them all over the cheetah, tiger, cobra, etc. It beats
cobra?
Them all.
Cobra?
Yep.
See,
killer hornet. Killer hornet kills them all.
You could kill an insect. You know, like, you can't kill cobra. Like, that one would really get me worried. You start seeing, like, cobras in, like, Washington State. Like, and that's it. That stuff's going to spread.
Did we drop that?
Yeah. We should have. Yep. Like, that would get me. The cobra. Like, I got a fear of snakes. Like, bad. I don't like snakes. I don't like snakes either, man.
I'm like right there with you.
How about a mongoose? Get Ricky Tikki Tavi in there. He'll kill a cobra for you.
Ricky Tikki Tavi, Ricky Tikki Tamba. I had a wheelbarrow we kept out back years ago, and I had it upside down so the rainwater didn't get in so it wouldn't rust. So I went out there to get it one day, and I flipped it over, and there was a snake underneath it, wound up, coiled, and it had stripes on it. And I'm like, this is a poisonous snake. And I ran. And I didn't know what kind of snake it was, didn't do any research on it, didn't care. Someone told me it was like a corn snake because corn snakes have the rings. I'm like, no, this thing looked nasty.
Great. That's not any snake. I don't care if it's poisonous or not.
Like
that is
never went
not
back
a snake
there.
I want to be near.
Right.
Nope. Got no interest in being near a snake ever.
Got nothing.
For anything.
Nope. Don't want anything to do with it.
No value. Get out of here.
Let's watch a video. This guy pulling a python out of someone's closet. It was in their food closet in Florida. And the guy gets it, and it starts snapping at him. I know they can't really bite, but I don't care. And then you start pulling this thing out. This thing's ended up being like 10 feet long. He's got those big hook things. He's like, watch. No, look, they're easy to handle. I'm like, Florida, man, it gets all that stuff. Gators, snakes, lizards. Ugh.
All right. The latest on baseball. This from the Tampa Bay Times.
Speaking of
I think it was it Tompkin who wrote this story? Yeah, Mark Tompkin. Excellent baseball writer down there in Tampa. It's weird when you say there's an excellent baseball anything in Tampa.
Yeah.
But Tompkin is very good. Mark Tompkin reported over the weekend that the preferred plan for Major League Baseball would be to start playing late June or early July, with as many teams as possible playing in their home parks, such as the Rays at Tropicana Field, while competing in an abbreviated schedule of 80 games or more. So they're shooting for 80, which I think is far more reasonable than shooting for 100+. The Arizona scenario, in which all the players would live in a bubble, is much less likely. So, too, is having teams play at spring training sites and competing in the Cactus or Grapefruit Leagues. He writes that other reports about having teams assigned to hub sites in Arizona, Texas, and Florida, or realigned into three geographical divisions, are being downplayed or dismissed. So that's one report, that the idea of realigning into the geographical divisions is maybe going to the wayside already, which is a little bit disappointing because I liked it. I did enjoy the geographical realignment, and I hope they actually go through with it. We'll see. Time will tell. But Tom Keegan, who writes for the Boston Herald, writes that a geographic realignment has benefits that extend beyond factors as obvious as more convenient game times and reduced travel costs. Road trip, anyone? Red Sox fans can help the Mets sell out Citi Field for a trio of three-game series every single year. This is not something we thought of beyond these current times, right, where we're going to have reduced capacities or fans not at games, whatever the situation might be in the coming months. But how about long-term? Wouldn't it be great if the Red Sox were playing in New York, not only against the Yankees but against the Mets? And the Red Sox are making trips to Pittsburgh every single year.
That'd be great.
And, yeah, I mean, I hadn't thought about this from a fan travel perspective because we're not thinking about travel anything right now. But long term, I think it could be great, and vice versa. You could have fans from those other teams traveling to other ballparks to make trips out of it, which obviously helps all of the economies, local economies that surround these ballparks and have major league teams in their city. He says the only downside of doing this on a permanent basis is that instead of two MVP, Cy Young, and Rookie of the Year honors being awarded each season, there would have to be either one or three. Is that a downside you're willing to suffer as a result? Only one MVP and one Rookie of the Year and one Cy Young? Yes, terrific. Let's do that. If that's what it takes, then I say go for it. And then he offers up this as the All-Star game. You wouldn't be able to have a National League, American League. He said either have the younger half of the All-Stars play against the older half, or as a nod to the past, have players from clubs formerly of the National League oppose the American League from what their teams used to be in. I love the, you know, players under 30 playing the players over 30. Old guys versus the kids. Be different. It'd be fun. And, well, I think they should do this. I think that they should go to the realigned divisions.
It would make the year actually feel real and would stick. You know, you do this realignment and have an abbreviated season like that, and you try and force one in, then you get back to the old ways. It just tells you that this year just never existed and it didn't really count. So I would say that the fact you would be able to still keep that and have that potential moving forward, and this would be a good thing to talk about changes with baseball. This would be something about not tying into umpires or nine inning games, you know, down to seven or every ball should be a strike or foul balls won't count as non-counted strikes. They actually count as a strike. All these things that you want to change the game with, this is something that actually could change the game, not affect the on the field stuff. And I think this would make people happy and interested in it.
You know, there's one thing that some people lament the loss of, and that is having two different leagues where the teams don't play each other. Because it was truly special, people will tell you, when you got to the All-Star game or to the World Series, because you were watching teams that never played each other in the regular season. Maybe this is like the happy medium between what you have now and that, which is a West Coast trip for the Red Sox. Doesn't happen that often. And now that's actually something that's a little bit different and a little bit of a change of pace. And you're not going there as many times as you are now. And you're staying more within, you know, your geographical travel area, which is, for the Red Sox, the East Coast.
Yeah, and it's like Baltimore's your cheap trip, right? Because it's Southwest. You get down, you get quick. The tickets are cheap down there. They can't fill the park. Yeah, like you bring up Pittsburgh being interesting, midsummer, cool place to go with your kid to see a game and stay downtown right there on the point and walk over the bridge to the game. It's pretty cool venue there. Really nice stadium.
So we'll see how it plays out, because I'm down for it. I hope they do stick to that idea. If they're going to play in home ballparks, they can make it a little bit easier on themselves this year with an odd set of circumstances, to say the least. But they seem to be ditching the idea of going to one of the hubs pretty hard. They seem out on this idea. They want to play at their home parks.
And I mean, so that's
what they're going to stick to.
Yeah, and that has always been the most likely scenario. I mean, yeah, I could probably get it back sooner. Could probably get it back and maybe even safer if you were to have one of these hubs. But the amount of work that it would take to buy yourself an extra month of playing time, I think they were going to do a cost-benefit analysis on that and say, you know, just wait it out. Just wait it out and be able to play in our own parks, even without fans, and just do it that way.
Would you be in favor of MLB going to a realignment and going to it for good? 617-779-0985. Speaking of getting back to sports, we've heard things about what the NFL might be wanting to do. Mike Florio had a report over the weekend, and the Dolphins apparently have a plan how they will get fans in and out of the stadium. You'll actually hear about that. We'll get to those stories coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand at 12:18 on this gorgeous Monday. Mike Florio wrote over the weekend on Pro Football Talk that it's an extremely small chance that there will be no NFL season in 2020. We'll take that as a win. That's good news. He says the ongoing pandemic has created plenty of confusion as science has mixed with politics and news has been filtered and slanted by media outlets and personalities more concerned about pandering political viewpoints than the truth. He says, within the NFL, there's little or no confusion. Football season will happen. Per sources with direct knowledge of both the NFL's deliberations and the current and expected medical and scientific developments in the coming weeks and months, there is an extremely small chance there will be no NFL season. Extremely small is in quotes, indicating it came from a source. So what would trigger the extremely small outcome, as one source put it? The information gleaned from fighting and studying the coronavirus to date would have to be proven dramatically incorrect by future behavior. So there's also this, though, about stadiums. It is believed, as to the stadiums, it is also believed that they will be open to fans with a strong preference for open stadiums from week one. For competitive reasons, a season that begins with no fans that eventually includes fans would create an unfair advantage and disadvantage based on, for example, when teams are scheduled to play.
Right.
Seattle,
I agree.
New Orleans, yep, or Minnesota. Those are loud domes and where crowd noise can impact the performance of a visiting offense. Again, testing for the virus and antibody testing will be much more readily available by the time football season rolls around, making it easier for fans who choose to attend games to know whether they have it or whether they've had it. That from Mike Florio. The developments in the coming months will make it easier for the NFL as their preferences open the stadiums from week one. Whenever week one happens, if it happens on schedule or not, they want fans in the stadium from the get-go.
Boy, this is from Florio, correct?
This is from Mike Florio.
Yeah, boy, he's changed his tune because he's sort of been the they shouldn't play.
Well, this is not his opinion, though. He's reporting.
I know that. So we're going. They're going to play, and it's kind of the feeling that you get, right?
But by the way, don't misrepresent Florio on that because his take has been that the NFL will happen in some form, and that college and high school will not. That's been his take all along.
Yeah, but he also said no fans too. And I just think this is a different report that he's getting and information he's getting where they're going to play with fans. And I think that it's either – it has to. They got to play. And you can't just ease them back in midseason because it creates an advantage for the teams. Like if you play in a dome, like you said, or say it's a team like Seattle that has a 12s that predicates their whole vibe on noise. Again, I think the players need the juice of the fans. Any players, any league, you need fans.
He says also don't count on a checkerboard seating arrangement either.
Right.
Social distancing in football stadiums won't work. Even if fans are kept physically distant in their seats, it would be impossible to keep them at least 6 feet apart when entering, exiting, going to the bathroom, getting food, drinks, etc.
Boy, who has ever brought up these points before? I love all this. This is great. Keep going.
Well, Hardy, you'll be happy to know that the NFL agrees with you. So, in addition to this morning on Good Morning America, is it Good Morning America or the Today Show that you watch, Artie? You're into these morning shows.
I do Good Morning America.
I'm not into them.
Oh, no, yes, you are. You are into them.
I like Strahan. I watch Good Morning America.
That's my comfort food in the morning. It's just the Today Show on in the background. It's what's been on in whatever house I've lived in for decades. Whatever. It's the Today Show.
You're a Today Show guy.
All right. Well, he's a Today Show guy.
If the world ends I may not find out from, you know, no offense, listening to Toucher and Rich. There's a good chance Fred doesn't know. But, you know, if the world
ends,
Fred
right now,
you know, you could just, you know, the Today Show will most likely feature it somewhere in the first 10 minutes. You know,
okay.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, this morning,
Fred book his flight yet?
on Good Morning America. Where is Fred? I don't know. Where is Fred?
Rumors are he's in Tennessee somewhere.
Did he go to his parents?
Next week.
He's come back next week?
No, he's going there. He's still at home.
Oh, he's still at home.
He talked about it in the air, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I knew there was something about Tennessee
trip.
In there.
That'll be a quick trip for him.
The Miami Dolphins CEO, Tom Garfinkel, he went on the show this morning, Good Morning America. He's the CEO of the Dolphins. Not Ray Finkel, but Tom Garfinkel went on Good Morning America and talked about how they're going to have fans in their stadium. This is the last stadium that hosted a football game. They had the Super Bowl. Here's what Garfinkel said.
One of the first changes that fans would notice would be right here at the entrance points, as the Miami Dolphins and Hard Rock Stadium are doing everything they can to safely prepare for the 2020 season.
The full schedule is set to be announced this week, with the 2020 NFL season beginning September 10th, wrapping up with the Super Bowl February 7th in Tampa. In the wake of the pandemic, the league acknowledging things will look different, and they'll be ready for adjustments with a focus on protecting the health of fans, players, and personnel. ABC News obtaining this exclusive look at the changes Hard Rock Stadium is making, the home of the Miami Dolphins and site of last year's Super Bowl. These mock-ups showing what the new entrances would look like with social distancing guidelines in place.
We would have times to come in for security at different gates, so people would be separated out in terms of when they enter the stadium. We would exit the stadium much like a church environment or something, where each row exits, and then so people aren't filing out all at the same time in a herd.
And the Dolphins have said that basically this stadium can hold 65,000 fans. They might be down to 15,000 fans for the next season. The NFL has discussed contingency plans like pushing the season back to October or playing in empty stadiums.
Okay, so that is the CEO of the Dolphins admitting, as the reporter said, that they may not be at full capacity. It could be a quarter, could be 15,000, could be 30,000. Whatever they decide on locally there is going to have an impact as well. But this idea that you're going to get up out of the aisles like it's church?
That'll be
that,
fun, huh?
That, Hardy, I do find ridiculous.
No, it's not happening. By the way, that guy started a podcast with somebody who played defense on the Patriots a couple of years ago. I don't know. All I know is they're calling it Simon and Garfinkel.
John Simon?
Simon and Garfinkel.
Are you Beatle? On that chain right now? What
are
you doing?
Garfinkel guy.
Is that a real thing? He's really doing a podcast with a guy named Simon?
No.
John Simon.
No.
John Simon did play for the Patriots.
Okay.
I know. He's not. You know, it's kind of interesting to me, though.
That was not funny, because I thought, like, they may have actually been playing on words with Simon and Garfunkel to do Simon and Garfinkel.
Do you want Zoe to do more bits with the stuffed teddy bear, or do you want Simon and Garfinkel? Those are your two choices.
Simon and Garfinkel.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
Now, we talked about how the competitive advantage would exist for all other teams in the league. Let's say California maintains what their governor is saying. It's like, nope, you're not doing anything for 8 more months. Not happening. Forget about it. All right, fine. Yeah. The rest of the league will play with fans, and, you know, the Rams and the Chargers and the 49ers, they won't have them. Fine, whatever. And we said, no. That's an unfair advantage for the teams that do get to play. This takes it one step further, and they said, not only can you not do that, you can't start the season with no fans and then eventually introduce the fans. And I know you said this a couple of minutes ago, Beatle, to me, this deserves a little more attention. You're right, because that first part of the schedule is going to serve as a disadvantage for teams. Let's say if you got a front-loaded schedule with more home games at the beginning, like, hey, we played, you know, 3 out of our first 5 games at home with no fans. All these other teams who maybe started with more road games, they're going to end up having an advantage later on in the season when they are backloaded with home games and the fans are actually there. So that becomes a consideration too.
Let's give it an actual example. Let's use Seattle as the example, the 12th man, rah-rah, all that bull crap.
Sure.
If the Cardinals go there in September and there are no fans, and then the 49ers have to make their trip there in November, and the place is packed and it's crazy and it's loud, the 49ers are saying, why the hell did the Cardinals get to play here without fans? Right? I mean,
right.
That's basically it. Think about in the division, where you know every year there are three teams going to Seattle. The Rams, the 49ers, the Cardinals. Every year, they're making that trip to Seattle at some point. And if two of the three play without fans or with fans and vice versa, that other team is going to be like, what the hell? How come we have to go there and deal with the conditions?
They can take care of the schedule part because the schedule's not out yet. They can have everybody has two home games and two road games in the first 4 weeks as a contingency in case they need to drop those four games. That can be taken care of because the schedule's not out yet.
No, but it's not but just part, about home
no,
and
but,
road.
No, but your part, they'll say your things is true, but the schedule part, that they can, I would almost guarantee everyone's going to have two home and two road games in the first 4 weeks. That's the only way they can do it.
It
because
would be
if
smart.
They, if they're already thinking about dropping those four games, and I bet you there's a couple, maybe there's three division games in those first few games, or no division games.
Well, I was going to say, it'd be more likely to have no division games. I wonder if they're going to have any division games in September when this schedule does come out this week. Because that's a way to ensure, hey, if we have to lose the first four, we don't want to lose division games. We emphasize the importance of winning your division in this sport. We can't be pulling those games off the calendar. I don't know.
Schedule breaks went Thursday night?
That was the original night it was supposed to be released. I don't know. It says by Saturday, but it's never released on the weekend, right?
I also believe that the NFL is far more likely to start on time in September and then have to have a pause at some point. Like, that to me is a horrible situation if it plays out that way. But, I mean, I would hope that by September, all the measures we have taken have made a real difference.
Yeah.
And we're operating somewhere in the middle where, you know, things are happening and things are more active in society and you're able to get your schedule up and running. I think, you know, based on what the medical people say and Dr. Fauci has said, is late fall into winter could get bad again. And so I think the NFL is going to probably start on time with or without fans. Who knows? But I think they're going to have a good shot to start it on time. It's whether or not they finish that I'd be more concerned with. The Super Bowl was 92 days ago. Does that not feel like a lifetime ago?
It sure does. 2 weeks ago feels like a lifetime ago.
92 days ago was the Super Bowl in Miami.
Under St. Patrick's Day? How long ago does that feel?
Yeah, that feels more like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, happy Mother's Day this weekend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
No gift yet, so? Drink works, baby. Drink works.
I got a liquor store down the street.
How does the Rose Happy Mother's Day tie into everything else? Or like, oh, yeah, and by the way, Happy Mother's Day this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget Mom. Yeah.
Right. What? What's the connection?
Where's the bear? What's the bear have to say about Mother's Day?
The bear's had it. He's just signaling touchdown. He wants football to come back so bad. Yeah. He's really getting
Simon Garfinkel.
Yeah, he said he can't bear anymore.
Yeah.
He just wants to play. That's all. That's Bentley's toy, actually.
He doesn't destroy his stuffed animals?
He carries them in the mouth. Like, the thing with Goldens, and we tried this with him with an egg, he won't break the egg.
Yeah.
A raw egg.
But I'm saying he's not a destructive chewer.
Chewer, correct.
Okay. All
right. Yeah. My bulldogs I had, one chewed through a door jamb. Because he was so stupid, he locked himself in the bathroom, guest bathroom, and he chewed through the door jamb to get out.
But he got out.
It doesn't sound stupid to me.
He didn't get out. I heard gnawing. I got up, like, this thing chewed through a freaking door jamb. A bulldog. Like, you never think a bulldog would chew. Like, lazy.
How long was the dog just off on his own?
A couple hours. I don't know. Maybe a couple days. You know what he said? He doesn't like to get in there.
Where the hell were you?
Toilet water. He would always go in and drink the toilet water. You would hear like, what the hell's that noise? Like, he's drinking the toilet water again.
It's big bulldog.
American bulldog. Oh yeah, 105 pounds.
Oh wow,
he was a beast. That dog was a beast, man.
And Parcells used to babysit him, right?
Yep, him and Molly, Boomer and Molly. He was a Boomer. Then we had Molly. Then we had Lily. Now we got Bentley. We're on dog number four. You should do podcasts with dogs.
Hardy has headlines. We'll be back. We haven't had a call yet today. Do we have one on the line?
You know what? We got an hour and a half left. Nope. We should run the final hour and a half of Hey Hardy from yesterday.
No calls.
It was a good show.
Everyone bailed on us today. It's been a good show, though. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being with us. Make sure you get to our website, 985thesportshub.com. In case you missed any of the show, podcasts are always posted there. Download the app. Tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 The Sports Hub. If you're looking forward to Saturday NFL football this fall with no college, we don't know that officially yet. You might have to pay a price for that. I'll tell you about that coming up as well. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
So if there's Saturday football in the NFL, you're going to watch it, right?
Yeah, not if I don't have to pay for it.
Well, that's you intend to watch it is what I should say.
I intend to watch it, yes. I will watch if it's free, okay. Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's a chance you may have to stream it.
I can do that.
You can do that. There's a chance you may have to pay for it.
Can I ask you a question? If you have Amazon Prime, do you have Amazon TV?
You have, yeah, you do. You have access to the free content.
I have this.
Yeah.
I have this already. Okay.
Okay. So if it is on Amazon.
Yeah, I'm good.
You're covered. Here's what Florio says. Again, he's got some real heavy hitters in the league talking to him this weekend. He says, as the source explained it, Saturday football would most likely entail making specific games available exclusively on Amazon Prime or ESPN Plus. With the streaming platforms paying a premium for content that would entice NFL fans to in turn pay the premium necessary to watch those games. How much is Amazon Plus, Jim? What do you pay for that thing? What's that run you a month? Maybe he's not there.
He's gone.
Oh, he's gone. Corporate Jim.
How long before you're going to tell us, T-Bone?
They're
asking Jim a question, but Jim isn't here. I will
$130 a year.
Okay. Wow.
But that's Amazon Prime.
Yep.
Plus.
Well, I was asking about ESPN Plus.
You said Amazon.
$4.99 a month.
Oh,
you
I did.
Amazon Plus. Yes.
I'm sorry.
Is Jim there or not? Why do you have all these answers?
Wait, what was the price on ESPN Plus?
I think it's $4.99 a month.
Okay, that's not terrible.
I think that's just known. I think you should probably just know that.
Oh, should I?
I'm going to kill you, T-Bone.
When you're in this seat, you embody Jim.
Yeah, in the same way Hardy wants to kill Jim frequently.
Yes.
Maybe we turn our attention to you next.
T-Bone's looking skinny. No time in the gym. Wow, he's getting thin. Ooh,
losing that muscle mass,
T-Bone. Losing that mass.
This hasn't been good.
You turn your neck. Look at that.
I know.
I thought you'd be out in the neighborhood, like picking up people's trash barrels. You know, pick things up, put them down.
I've been forced to do band workouts.
T-Bone, give us a spin around. Right? Give us the full 360.
Turn around.
Come on,
no.
Come
Turn
on. Because I can tell a lot from the glutes.
No, this is all you get.
How about the traps? Show off the traps. Give me something.
Remember, our listeners had to sit there and look at Nate.
Grab a heavy stapler and do a shoulder shrug. Give us something. I can only tell so much from that angle.
All right, come on, Amazon Plus, let's go.
Oh, wow. What are we going to do tomorrow? For
enough already. $4.99 a month for ESPN Plus. Amazon Prime is, it's over, what's it, $130 a year now?
Yeah, That's ridiculous. I remember when it was $99. I remember like pulling the trigger on that.
Oh, well, I think actually, it was $79 when I started with it. It was,
well, you know, as an importer exporter, you know, you've been all over Amazon Prime for years.
As someone who's yes, internet commerce friendly, yes, of course. But either way, Amazon, I feel like you're not buying it for Amazon Prime content. You're buying it for other reasons.
Right.
But if it's on Amazon, which I think it will be, by the way, my bet's on Amazon, not ESPN.
Yeah.
As the league and Amazon were in talks last week and they re-upped their digital agreements and are planning expansions in the future, as the press release said, this is probably one of those things. But can we just talk about streaming a game versus watching it on television?
Sure.
I can't stand that.
I've never tried to stream a game on TV.
It depends on how dialed in you are with your TV and what your habits are like. Now, I know, for me, it's still a bit of a struggle. Not a struggle, isn't it? I still consider it to be a pain in the ass when I have to go to Netflix or Hulu or anything else. What I like, what I'm used to, and yes, I think Zoe's with me on this, is you hit the guide on the Xfinity and like, what's on, you know? If I've got 20 minutes to kill and I just feel like zoning out, just tell me what's on and I'll be okay watching that.
Put
for a
on
few
NFL
minutes.
Football. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, just do that. The more steps I have to take, the less likely I am to go through and actually watch it. Unless it's something I really, really, really want to watch. And if we're talking about football games between two teams, not, you know, neither one of them are mine. Am I going to make sure my TV is web-enabled? Oh, I forgot to re-enter the password the last time we changed over the router and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I mean, if it's something that's already there on the platform and more of these apps are being included now, like on the, you know, and I keep going back to Xfinity just because that's what it's. If it's there on the menu bar and you can click over and get to it, okay, that's only one extra step. But if you're talking about changing inputs and going over to the Wi-Fi, oh, boy. I'm not saying I can't do it or I wouldn't do it. I'm just less likely to do
it.
Unless it's something you really want to see.
Correct.
Unless it's a game that you've got marked as, oh, I want to make sure I watch that game. That could be a good one. But if it's, you know, the Chicago Bears against name another crap team on Saturday
Arizona
Night
Cardinals.
Football. Yeah,
Lions.
Cardinals, Bears. You're like, I'm not going to stream that.
I'd probably watch another episode of The Office. I would.
Right, and, yeah, and here's what I was going to say, Artie. You brought up the guide. The best part about having a game on cable on television is you can flip back and forth easily to all the other stuff you're checking in on.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes.
And when you're streaming something, there's
can't
no flipping back and forth. That's right. What drives me crazy about things that are streamed, live stuff. You know, if you're
what
watching a show,
what happens
it doesn't
to the commercials
matter.
Then? What happens to a commercial? Do they show commercials?
They run commercials.
Oh, okay.
You can't flip away unless you, you know, exit out of the app, whether that be through your cable box or through your smart TV. You exit out, and then you got to go back in, click on the game again, get the stream loaded. It's just a pain in the ass. Like, just put it on TV, please, the streaming. Just annoyed by that in general, that they're going to stream the game.
Ooh.
What's the matter?
Well, you get a little Chewbacca that comes.
Oh,
in.
Chewbacca. Am I all right now? You hear me now?
You're fine now.
Oh, okay, good. 617-779-0985. Are we getting Jim back at any point, or is he gone for the day again?
He'll be back. Why?
I think he passed out.
I was just wondering. Just curious what he's up to.
Put on his corporate cap for a little bit.
Oh, did he? Does he put on a tie before he walks out of the studio?
Yeah, it's a clip-on.
To go down and take on the big meetings, whatever the big meetings are all about.
Yeah, he's got the tearaway clothing.
617-779-0985. Hardy shared some bad news about golf courses earlier. It's now been confirmed in reports, by the
way. This is unbelievable.
Bill Doyle tweeted out a short time ago that he is told that after a meeting with the Alliance of Massachusetts Golf Organizations, The governor's reopening advisory board has decided not to reopen golf courses earlier than the May 18th reopening date that Governor Charlie Baker set for non-essential businesses. Hardy, they even got a meeting and he turned them down.
I would love to hear the reasoning. I really
would.
He won't
give one. He won't give one. This is where he's losing people on this one.
I don't even know how many people he's losing. I mean, and maybe that's a risk he's willing to take if the reasoning is good enough. What's the reason? You know, all the,
there's a lot of other states
doing it, it's been touted by health professionals as one of the safest things you can do outside in terms of social distancing. So what's your reason? What's the reason for this?
Yeah, why does he have parks open then? Why does he have walkways and breezeways along streams and lakes and rivers? Yeah.
Isn't there breezeway inside?
Why could you go down the Esplanade? Like why are you allowed to go to the Esplanade? Why are you allowed to go to the Esplanade and run around and play Frisbee and do all that stuff, but you can't play golf?
I don't know. I don't know because I have yet to see a
Esplanade
reason.
Was packed yesterday.
I'm surprised. Hardy, I got to admit, I'm surprised.
You should be on this one. Yeah, give everything else I understand. Okay.
Especially since they got a meeting.
Right.
They got a meeting and got turned down. Right. We'll pick this up on the other side. 617.
I think he's angry.
779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Is the telephone number for you if you want to jump on board. We have yet to take a call on the show today, boys. Not a single
one. You sure the phone's on? Hold on.
They're working. They are working. We've done a lot of talking today.
Well, it's an entertaining show.
Oh, yeah. No, the show has not suffered as a result.
Yeah.
Not at all. What are you doing? Oh, you're calling.
T-Bone hung up on me.
I said, yeah, it works.
Yep, it works. Okay. Phones are working. 617-779-0985. Gary Tangway, by the way, says that Julian Edelman is getting screwed, and Jarrett Stidham will probably injure him, and he should have just retired. That's the recap from Tom Morgan.
Who
today,
had the over-under on the Tangway shock jock article?
Well, that's the recap. Weeks. That is the one-sentence recap from Tom Morgan on Gary Tangway's story at NBCSportsBoston.com.
This is the great thing about T-Bone's recaps is sometimes I think they're the actual headlines. So when I saw that after his post, I'm like, holy crap, that's a hell of a headline.
You believe that would be a,
that's
but you
the T-Bone
that
commentary.
Would be a Gary, yeah, that would be a Gary headline, though.
Totally. He says, now that Edelman is 33 going on 34 and is pretty much done, there is no way that Stid the Kid can put the ball where Jules needs it the way Brady could. He writes, my biggest concern is that Bill's pet, Stidham, hey, let's just call him Nike number two, is going to mess up and lay Jules out. Then it's going to be good night, JE11.
Boy, Gary's got a lot of tags in there. Nike, JE11, Jules.
He says, let's face it, Edelman should probably quit for the sake of his head.
Jesus.
We know, Seahawks Super Bowl included, this guy has sacrificed his body and mind to unspeakable measures. He says, I've always been a fan, but after spending time with his former teammates at Kent State during a Tangway Takes America tour.
Oh, my God.
And watching his documentary, I fell hard for Jules.
Oh, boy. Jesus. Wow.
One of his teammates from his college days, who shall remain nameless, Not because I'm trying to protect him, but because I forgot his name.
Right. Bingo. Exactly.
Told us that the number of times Edelman, the smallest guy in the room, would find himself in a brawl. His teammates would look at each other and say, okay, let's go save his ass. That is from a former teammate of Edelman's, who shall remain unnamed because Tang Wei cannot remember his name, said about Edelman. And Gary says he should retire. He should quit. Give it up.
I want to say to Gary right now, after he admits that he fell hard for Jules, Gary, that's why they call it a crush, because they hurt. If they didn't hurt, they'd call him something else. So your crush on Jules, I feel for you. I don't think he's going to retire, so I don't know what's going to be more painful for you, watching him play, and yes, risk injury, whether it's Stidham throwing him the ball or someone else, or not seeing him play anymore. I don't know what's going to hurt more, Gary, but that's why they call it a crush, because either way, it's going to hurt.
Get ready for the Tatum's going to fall flat on his face when they come back because he hasn't touched the basketball one. Gary's going to rate one of those coming, too. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. It's right up his alley.
I mean, Edelman's going to make this year like $7 million, isn't he?
He's finally starting to reap the benefits of that contract, yeah.
Well, he's got some incentives, so maybe it's like $5 million. I don't know particulars.
He's the main receiver.
But he's got some considerable real money to come back and play for.
Sure does.
So
what else
going to
do?
I don't think he should quit.
For 2020, he's got a base salary of $3.3 million. He's already got $2.6 million in signing, a roster bonus of $900,000, a workout bonus of $300,000, and then miscellaneous money.
So $3.3 million plus $9 million is $4.2 million plus what'd you say, $300,000?
The signing bonus he's already got.
Right. It's spread out, but it's already been paid.
Right. His cash details on the year, $7 million, with the cap hit of 9666666666. So, yeah, I think it's safe to say he's gonna get the $7 million if he plays. I mean, that's
especially
seems to...
with a short the potential. I don't know if it will be, but the potential for a shortened season to happen too.
Yeah,
and that could obviously impact your pay, but still, like, that's less wear and tear if there's a shortened season.
Yeah,
of course he's going to play.
I don't see him leaving that money on the table.
Do you feel bad for him, though? Do you feel like he's getting hosed, that he shouldn't go out like this?
Well, I mean, no one seems to have a problem with Gronkowski saying he's not going to play for any other quarterback. So, is he getting hosed? No, I mean, I think it's part of the game, but would people view him differently if he said, no, I'm not playing for anyone other than Tom Brady at quarterback? I think that's really what it is. A host, is he getting screwed over? It's part of the game. You know, no one guarantees you a job, much less you're going to play with the same guys, you know, for your entire career. So, no, I don't look at it as a hosing. I don't look at it as anything that, they're doing them dirty by moving on from Tom Brady. It's certainly nothing personal and nothing, you know, being done intentionally to offend Julian Edelman. But I wonder if people would fault him if he decided, let's say Gary, he took Gary's advice. He said, you know what, I'm just not going to play anymore.
Unless you trade me to Tampa. That would be the Gronk move.
Right, right, right.
Right?
Yeah. Boy, and just by virtue of when it would take place, people would give him a hard time. It's like, it's one thing for Brady to leave. It was something else for Gronkowski to do it. You know, don't love it, but he did it. Now Julian Edelman is doing the same thing. Okay, enough already.
Enough of this crap.
Yeah, exactly.
Bill Belichick released a statement on Don Shula, which is kind of interesting.
Why is that interesting?
That's the guy he's chasing, and he's called Belichick Belichick for a couple of years, especially when the Patriots got hot and were heading undefeated seasons. Shula, not a fan, I didn't think. At least my recollection.
No, I seem to remember that, and it came up again within the last year and a half.
Yeah, they were 8-0 last year.
Yeah, I mean, the last time I heard Bill talk about Shula was in that 100 NFL 100 special. And he was heaping all kinds of praise on Don Shula, So even if he doesn't like Bill, Bill doesn't hold it against him.
Yeah, that's true. He goes, hey, Don Shula is one of the all-time great coaching figures and the standard for consistency and leadership in the NFL. He said he was fortunate to grow up in Maryland and is a fan of the Baltimore Colts who under Coach Shula, Baltimore Colts who under Coach Shula were one of the outstanding teams of that era. His first connection with Coach Shula was through his father. See, there's your connection. With his friendship with Coach Shula when they went back to their days in Northeast Ohio. Said he extends his deepest condolences to the Shula family and to the Dolphins organization.
Nice.
Good job by Coach. High road there.
Don Shula, if you hadn't heard, passed away today at the age of 90. Hardy's got that in the headlines. And we'll kick off the 1 o'clock hour right after that. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.